With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back, everybody. Another episode of The War Room on In This League. Please check out our Patreon, patreon.com/ITL Army, if you would. We've got all kinds of great stuff for you there. Group me rooms, baseball rankings for all you baseball fans. I will have updated dynasty rankings at the end of this month as well. For some of the current players, and CK and I are starting to work on rookie rankings. I don't officially rank them until after the draft because team context is so much, but I'll have a general, ranking of these guys going into the draft. Of course, CK and at COPIEPS for CK on the Twitter machine, at Bogman Sports for myself. CK, so much to talk about today. We've got the draft order set for 1 through 18. We've got defensive prospects to go over, and we watched maybe one of the worst national title games in national title game history. I mean, I expected it to be Georgia pretty easy here. I didn't think it would be that easy. We were broadcasting it, and it was a disaster, right?
After those great semifinal games with the TCU, Michigan, and Georgia, Ohio State, man, that were so great, you at least had to hope for it to be competitive into the fourth quarter. It wasn't competitive into the second quarter. I forget where I saw it, but somewhere I read somewhere that it was Georgia 13.5 was the spread. Georgia covered 13.5 every single quarter. They outscored TCU by 13.5. It was a blowout, man. It was tough to watch actually at times.
It was so bad. I think it was 31-7 with 1:19 left in the first half. And we were broadcasting it on the ITL Twitch. And I said, if Georgia scores again, I'm going to turn this off at halftime. And they did. I didn't think they would with 1:19 left, but Max Duggan threw that terrible interception. I'm just trying to do anything he could with the ball. It's not necessarily all his fault, but, just a bad decision, and Georgia scores again, and it was over at halftime. I mean, those guys were eating chicken wings, I saw on the sideline, like, before halftime. So...
get those guys a sponsorship. Get those guys an NIL deal. Anyone that are staying around, get them an NIL deal. Popeyes or.
Well, speaking of Popeyes and NIL deal, did you see the Popeyes kid with the side eye?
That is awesome.
Oh, it's
good job by
great.
Popeyes to take advantage of that.
Yeah, his high school team won the state championship, and he's off to college now. And giant kid. I mean, big offensive lineman. So just fun stuff all around. Mm-hmm. I love that the kid with the meme is making some money off of his. Everyone in the world has seen that kid's face. Mm-hmm. So he should make a little scratch off of it. I like that. Well, normally we start out with some prospect stuff, but right now we have the draft order for at the very top, CK. So let's start with that. And the Texans did it. They pissed away a chance at being able to pick 1-1 overall. I don't know how much it's going to matter for them, you know, but it was just funny. The writing was on the wall for Lovie Smith to be out after year one, before the game played. And I think everyone feels like it's a big middle finger to the Texans by him. He knew he was going to get fired, so sent those guys out to win. But if it was that easy, he would have sent them out to win every week. You know what I mean? And they would have been undefeated. Those guys played hard for him, and they ended up with a win, which was, you know, if you're a Texans fan, I don't ever really hate a win because it shows that the team is moving in the right direction. But this is the one time where I would have been like, just take the L, man. Get that 1-1. Because even you can trade out of it, even if you're moving a couple spots back and add more stuff. And when you're picking at 1-1, generally, you need to trade out of that spot and get more things. But
I don't know what the Bears are going to do. I think that's what the Bears want to do, right? I think they want to trade out of that spot. Now,
I love this.
If you're a Bears fan?
Well, not only if I'm a Bears fan, but as a Steelers fan, I love this too.
Oh, yeah,
because the Bears traded that second round pick to the Steelers for Chase Claypool. So that's now the first pick in the second round. But Bears are picking one. I'm with you, CK. We'll get to it in a minute. That they are probably trading out of that. Then in the top five, you have Houston. The Cardinals are three. The Colts are four. And Seattle gets Denver's pick, which would have been five. Detroit gets the number six overall pick, which was from the Rams in the Stafford trade. Then we have Vegas at seven, Atlanta at eight, Carolina at nine, and Philly with the 10th pick because they have the Saints first round pick. So that is your top 10. And like you said, CK, Chicago's got to trade out of this unless they want to replace Justin Fields. I don't think they do, but now by getting the first overall pick, you can have anyone you want. You don't have to wait on, you know, whoever's picking in front of you. And you can, you know, feel free to trade out of this spot too if someone falls in love with a quarterback and get the, you know, I think the general deal is three first-round picks for a first overall. You know, it's wherever you pick this year, probably in the top 10 or 15, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then two more first-round picks is the general stance most teams have.
I don't think they want to drop too far, though, right? I don't.
Yeah.
They really want one of the two big defensive line players. We'll talk about, I would assume, Jalen Carter or Will Anderson. So the easy one is just say Indianapolis moving up from four to one. That's the one that's going to be easily speculated there if Indianapolis finds the quarterback they want. As far as replacing Justin Fields, other than his rushing ability, are we sure Justin Fields is still a good quarterback? Now, he's great for fantasy, but as far as an NFL team, are we sure he's a great quarterback? I'm not sure he's better than Bryce Young throwing the ball. He's an amazing athlete and he's great for fantasy, but he also wasn't drafted by the new Bears GM. Is it Ryan? I forget his last name. Poles, I think.
Something Poles, like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he did not draft Justin Fields. So it's possible. We saw the Cardinals go back-to-back years with a first-round pick, Josh Rosen, and then...
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
They had a new GM, they had a new coach who is now gone, but they took Cliff Kingsbury took Kyler Murray.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull?
Hey! Most as possible, they could take Bryce Young or DJ Stroud or Will Levis, whoever they like the most.
I don't know that it's fair to Justin Fields has no targets. I mean, it's Cole Kmet. Darnell Mooney is very good, and we saw a little connection there, but it was like, okay, well, Fields is banged up, and then Mooney is banged up. Like, this offense definitely has not been 100%. And the Bears get down in games, and they force him to throw the ball, and when you know the pass is coming, it's easier for defensive linemen to pin their ears back, defensive backs to play back a couple steps, try to jump a route. It's just easier when you know what's coming, you know? Sure. So I don't know that Justin Fields may not be good. And I can tell you from the first like 3 weeks or 4 weeks, I was questioning him as an NFL quarterback at all. Cause he looked so bad. Then he went on a tear where he looked like an MVP candidate. And then he kind of fizzled out at the end again. So I'm not really sure where I stand on Fields. I can see other. Yeah. I mean, look, how about Atlanta trades for him? And then Chicago, uses that 1-1 still. I'm fine with that too. That's a running system. You have targets there, given Pitts, given Drake London, and a run first team. So you're not asking him to throw the ball, 40 times. So
let's look at those top 10 teams and which teams are actually interested in a quarterback, right? So Houston is going to be interested in a quarterback. They're picking 2. Indy at 4 wants a quarterback. Seattle, I think they're just going to re-sign Geno. I don't really see them taking a quarterback there. Detroit, I suppose they could, but it's not their biggest need, right? It's certainly not their biggest need. Vegas needs a quarterback. Atlanta
does.
I'm not ready to pass up on one of these high-end guys for Desmond Ridder. And Carolina is desperate in need of a quarterback. So that's half the top 10 picks needs a quarterback. And there's only 4 that we think are going to go in the first round.
I think you might be, Geno is old. You know, I mean, I know he played very well this year, but I think he's closer to my age than he is closer to some of these rookies coming out. You know what I mean? So it at least has to be in the back of Seattle's mind. And this is one of those scenarios where if a team falls in love with a guy, they're willing to move, the sun and the earth to get him. So I don't think we can count out Seattle or even Detroit. And it's not that the guys that are there are bad. Geno was great this year, and they're in the playoffs. I mean, they still have a shot to go deeper. We know Jared Goff is streaky. He was in and out, but there are no excuses for him anymore. I mean, he's got Amon-Ra. He's going to get Jameson back. The run game is good. The O-line is good. All that he's missing from is like a premier tight end. But I could see tell me you can't see Dan Campbell falling in love with Will Levis.
That would be the one that he would seem to like, right? That's your grinder guy. He's gonna go after it.
That's a kneecap biter if you've ever Will seen Levis. One. Yeah, Will Levis. So you could see that. And then, same thing with Vegas. Obviously Derek Carr is out there. They're gonna trade him or cut him. Atlanta needs that. Desmond Ridder ain't gonna be the guy, I don't think. I don't know that it's fair to judge them off a couple games. So if they want to sit where they are, take the best player available because they need so much, or maybe even trade back from that spot instead of trading up. Atlanta really can do anything. Their roster is so rough that they can do kind of whatever they want. The rest of the field that we know in terms of the draft order, Tennessee is picking at 11. Cleveland is picking at 12, although the Texans have their pick. The Jets at 13, Patriots at 14, Packers at 15, Commanders at 16, Steelers at 17, and Lions at 18. I told you the Steelers would screw up that pick and just miss the playoffs. They were a top 5 pick earlier this season, end up at 17 and no playoff spot, exactly where you want to be. So
it was a rough weekend for both of us, man, as Steelers fans and Packers fans. It was a rough weekend. At least your team won. My team just needed to win and couldn't get it done. But
I mean, it's just so sad watching what they say, the first time since 2000, no Packers, Patriots, or Steelers in the playoffs. And in the AFC, it's the first time since 2001, no Patriots, Steelers, or Colts in the playoffs. That's Roethlisberger, Manning, and Brady right there forever. So none of those teams in the playoffs, but we'll see what happens. And then, we're still sorting out the rest of it. Wild card round losers will know by this time next week. and then so on and so forth. And we have the Hula Bowl coming up. Hula Bowl is this weekend, right? So we will have coverage on that for next week's episode as well. So let's dive in and talk about some of these defensive prospects, CK, because, you know, this is a huge part of the ball. And, you know, you're going to hear me talk about IDP a lot on this show. And if you decide to jump into an IDP league, which I highly recommend, it just makes the draft so much more fun for you to watch. You know, if you're only looking for wide receivers, running backs, and quarterbacks, okay. But I mean, you're going to be waiting until, you know, day three to see a lot of those guys go, you know, which makes the guys in round one and two. But I mean, the first round is so long. The first round is 4 hours. You're going to wait 15 minutes between picks and then not know the defensive lineman pick? Don't be that guy. Come on. Come play some IDP. Enjoy it. You can start with three. You can go all the way up to 11. This is my used car salesman pitch right here. CK's laughing at me, by the way.
Do you guys play 11? Do you play 11 a lot?
Yeah, my home league's 11.
Mm-hmm. Is it? Okay.
So
I don't have any 11s. I do not have any 11s. And this is a guy who loves the draft, so I do not play any 11s. But
well, we do the you know, I have the individual defensive podcast here with Gary Davenport. Mm-hmm. We play 11 in the listener league as well. He has deathmatch where we play 11. So I've got a lot of those. But
I have to join one of those this year.
It's fun. And look, you probably shouldn't say this if you're being a used car salesman, but dive in feet first and go the full 11 if you want to start. But if you're a commissioner, you want to go to IDP and you're getting a lot of pushback from your league because people don't want to do the extra research. I always compare it to, if you're a fantasy baseballer, you would not want to draft a pitching staff, right? Doesn't that feel terrible? I mean, you don't want to draft, you know, you don't want Frankie Montas when you have Garrett Cole. You know what I mean? You don't want Frankie Montas's ERA affecting Garrett Cole. It's the same thing on the defensive side of the ball. There's one weak link. You know, you're getting roasted. So anyway, this is my used car salesman, my used car sales pitch for IDP. But anyway, we're going to look at the defensive side of the ball. A lot of good defensive prospects this year, as there are every single year. A lot of edge, a lot of interior guys. Not so many inside linebackers. We'll get to it. But lots of corners and almost no safeties. I mean, the safety class this year is rough. But we had more declarations, and we're going to have one more episode of declarations after this, because the deadline, we looked it up, is Monday, the 16th. So who were the guys that decided to make the trek to the NFL draft this year, or this week, excuse me?
Okay, so we're going to burn through some of these. So Hunter Lepke is this might be the only fullback that's drafted in the entire draft this year. He is, I think he had over 600 yards rushing from North Dakota State this year. Think much more of a ball carrier, like a H-back option. Think Chris Cooley type of player who can get some passes, run the ball. He probably a day three guy. We're going to bunch of wide receivers here. Ronnie Bell, you've mentioned you like a lot. We talked about Marvin Mims last week. CJ Johnson, we talked about in the bowl games. I don't know if I ever talked about Malik Knowles. Malik Knowles is a wide receiver from Kansas State. Big guy. Jared Wayne, I don't think, gets drafted from Pittsburgh. Grant DeBoas had the weirdest offseason ever, where he's a wide receiver from Charlotte. He went into the transfer portal. He decided, nope, I've decided I'm going to go back to Charlotte. And then like the very next day, he said, nope, I'm not going to Charlotte. NFL draft, here I come. So we'll see. He actually is very good, so I think he'll get drafted. Davis Allen's a tight end from Clemson. Does kind of struggles with separating. Just yesterday, we heard Luke Whipler. That is a center from Ohio State. I said, it's good center class. Steve Avila, one of the rare TCU players that I thought actually played fairly well in that game. He held up decently well against Jalen Carter, who we'll talk about.
The snaps were no issues. Yeah,
that's right. Exactly. Offensive tackle. So Jalen Duncan is an offensive tackle for Maryland. We talked about him in the Bulls. Here's some first round pick options. Paris Johnson and DeJuan Jones are.
This fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at MinkyCouture.com.
Both offensive tackles from Ohio State. Both of those are first-round pick possibilities if you're looking for an O-line. Paris Johnson, more technically sound. DeJuan Jones is just huge. Just a massive human being.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's not what you did, son, that angers me, son. It's who you did it to.
Who? Nobody?
But nobody.
ITL.
I've seen Paris Johnson mock to the Steelers. So
that'd be okay. You'd like that one.
I would be okay with it. I'm just kind of convinced they won't draft an O-lineman to start, but we'll see.
KJ Henry is an edge from Clemson. Mazi Smith, we talked about, another edge. Mike Morris is an edge. Habakkuk Baldonado is an edge player. Jalen Carter, we're going to talk about a lot. He officially declared. DJ Dale is an Alabama player. Here's a good one. Byron Young is a defensive lineman from Alabama. Here is a factoid for everybody. There's going to be two players named Byron Young get drafted, likely on day two, both of whom are edge players from the SEC. Byron Young is Alabama and Byron Young is Tennessee. It can be very confusing because they also play very similarly.
So somebody's got to get a nickname, man.
Somebody's and we can't go with BY, right? We can't just say BY because there's can't that one's already it. Taken.
Yeah, so. And Bryce Young. Yeah,
that's right.
So too many BYs. So, it'll be, you know, when we had Chris Youngs in baseball, Chris Young SP and then Chris B. Young was the outfielder for the D-backs. So, you know.
Wait for Dane Brugger. He'll figure out a middle name or something. I don't know any middle names for you, but Byron Young. Yeah,
it'll Alabama. Be Byron Young, type A blood, Byron Young, exactly. O positive. Right. So
Keandre Coburn, we talked about him. He's the huge defensive tackle from Texas. DJ Turner is a corner from Michigan. Julius Brents, I like, as a corner from Kansas State, built like a corner. And Keely Ringo, we'll talk about today. He acquitted himself nicely in the college football playoff championship. Those are the ones that are going to the NFL that I wanted to talk about. Now, people that are going back to college, Cam Rising mentioned quickly is back to Utah. Your buddy Spencer Rattler, the quarterback at South Carolina, is heading back. Jordan Whittington, the receiver
for
Texas.
His 10th year. I mean, I think it's seriously his 7th year. Hey. So.
What's the line from Tommy Boy? They call them doctors.
If you're yeah. A lot of people go to college for seven years. Yeah, they're called doctors.
That's right. Johnny Wilson, next year. So Florida State's going to be awesome next year. I'm so excited to watch Florida State. Johnny Wilson is probably 6'7", 6'8", like Mike Evans-sized wide receiver. He decided to return. A couple tight ends here. Cade Stover from Ohio State. Ben Jurasek, Brant Keithy. Cooper Beebe is a good interior lineman going back to Kansas State. All the Clemson guys are, well, not all the Clemson guys are going back, but Clemson, as usual, extremely deep on defense. Tyler Davis, Xavier Thomas, and I finally heard him say it. It's Rook. The H's are silent. So it's Rook or O. I never actually heard him say
Oro.
It. Yep, that's how he says it. And then J.J. Weaver, edge from Kentucky, and here's the big two. So first, Jared Verse decided to go back to Florida State. So I'm just talking about how excited I am to watch Florida State. I was shocked when I saw it. I thought, at this time last year, right, we were talking, was it going to be Aiden Hutchinson or Kayvon Thibodeau? And then Trayvon Walker just climbed up the board. If there was someone who was going to do that this year,
yeah,
I would have guessed Jared Verse. So that is probably the second top.
We were
pick.
Texting about it. And yeah. I just look, I there are some guys. I remember Matt Leinart talking about it, right? Where Matt Leinart was like, well, my dream was to play at USC. So I'm going to stay for the extra year because this is what I've always wanted to do. And, you know, stay for the extra year. Didn't work out for him, but he did stay the extra year. And then, you know. But we've seen so many guys go back as a top 10 talent and then go in the third round the next year, go in the fourth round. I mean, quarterbacks are extreme. Some of them go undrafted in those scenarios, right? So I was just, you're making money in college now, so it's not all about the money. But I mean, it is like, you know, it's guaranteed for you. If you picked in the first round, you're getting 4 years worth of that cash and a fifth year option if you're good. That teams can pick up. So a little surprising to see Verse go back, but you know, it's the nature of the beast these days.
Yeah. I was surprised. I posted a video before he went back in the war room, group me room, and where he was at Albany still. And he tracked down, I mean, he's 10 yards behind Sean Tucker and he chases him down and he's right on his heels. So that is shows the type of athlete is. I think if he has a good year, he's pretty much a lock top 10 pick at that point for me, but we'll see. Maybe he gets hurt.
The president of the Jaredverse fan club.
I am right there. I am hyping. I'm going to drive that train next year, man. The other surprising one, I think, that went back, we heard it was 50-50. And Blake Corum went on the Rich Eisen show and said that he hurt his MCL. I forget if he said he tore it or... We knew he had a knee injury, and he did officially talk about the knee injury, and he said that he was going to struggle to do any of the combine and any of that anyways. And so when he said that, he said, I'm decided to come back to Michigan for an extra year. I guess with the injury, it makes sense to me at that point. And at this point, he, you know, there's always going to be juniors or draft eligible players next year, like Travion Henderson or Braylon Allen, that'll maybe overtake him. But I could see Blake Corum going back and having a Zach Charbonnet-like year and still being a probably a pretty early day two guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what you said with the injury. This one was less surprising. I think if he was healthy enough to go through the combine and all that stuff, then, you know, he would probably be right there. He'd be in this class because he would be in that top three of Bijan, Gibbs, and it would be Corum, probably for me, third here. But with the NFL kind of moving running backs down the board overall as a position, you know, and the success of some guys recently, James Robinson undrafted was a Pro Bowler. Zonovan Knight this season we saw play very, very well after going undrafted, right? So, you know, you just can't, it's more risky for a running back than it is for an edge guy. Jaredverse could suck this year. He'll still go in the fourth round. Right. Because people saw that upside from last year. They'll decide that he was definitely dealing with an injury or we can fix him and get him back to the guy he was before. You know, Blake Corum, if he sucks this year, he goes undrafted. So he's betting on himself. It is a bit of a gamble, but I like it for him and I think he can do it. And he's still behind one of the best offensive lines in the nation in Michigan. Probably going to have to deal with a new coach, though. So we'll see, because Jim Harbaugh looks to have got himself into a little bit of trouble at Michigan here. So we'll see if he takes an NFL job. But yeah, I mean, I don't think a lot's going to change at Michigan, even if Jim Harbaugh goes. So it's not like they're going to bring in Cliff Kingsbury to Michigan. Wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be amazing. It'd remember be awesome they, if they just they hired Rich jobs,
Rod.
By the way.
Remember when they hired Rich Rod to run the spread there with what was the guy who didn't tie his shoelaces?
Yeah, that was Denard Robinson.
Yep, there we go.
Yeah, oh. Here's to you, Denard Robinson. Yeah, they made the whole song about him and everything.
Awesome.
Ooh, we are showing our age here a little bit.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Verse and Corum, you know, gonna be. It's going to be fun to watch them again. I'm a little disappointed they're not in this class, but the class is deep. So let's get into it. We're going to start with edge rushers. So CK, tell us about the edge rushers in this class at the top.
All year, it was kind of which Alabama player would go number one, depending on who you want, what spot you needed, right? If it was going to be Bryce Young, if you wanted a quarterback, or if you wanted defense, Will Anderson. I think it's a little closer. Jalen Carter is going to get mentioned in that top area now too. We saw CJ Stroud. So there's some talk about the top again. But Will Anderson, when I was doing these grades, he grades out higher for me than any edge player since Nick Bosa. And so that's all the guys last year, right? Aiden Hutchinson, Trayvon Walker, Kayvon Thibodeau, Chase Young. To me, you have to go all the way back to Nick Bosa. And that's really good. That's really high praise for him. Now, I don't want to sell the scat line, but it's a really impressive stat line. The last couple of years, he's combined for 152 tackles, 48 of them for loss, and 27 and a half sacks. And that is, you can say, Alabama has so many options that he can't get double teamed. No, he fights through plenty of double teams. Like, they will chip him with running backs and he just pushes off. With his size profile, the ability that he has to turn around a tackle on the offensive line and bend his body to ridiculously low levels to the ground for a man that size and then not fall over and still keep rushing the passer is very impressive for a player that, I said, if he would have been eligible to get drafted last year, he probably goes in the top five. Now, he didn't have that opportunity. So the question was, okay, well, he's already proven what he's done. Will he just kind of slow down a little bit this year to make sure he doesn't get hurt? Nope. He still went extremely hard and still helped Alabama almost get to the playoff. Just a game like
that's
there.
The one gear, you know, you have a motor, the you don't ramp it up. It's on and off. That's it. You know,
the only knock that you can make on him, and it's very nitpicky, would be because he is so athletically dominant, you don't see all the rip moves, the swim moves, the chop moves on him, which It works for him at Alabama. In the NFL, the tackles get better, right? So he's going to need to have some type of a counter move in place for when he does get locked up by a tackle. And I don't think that there's any question that he can develop it, though, either.
Yeah, I mean, you saw a guy, you know, just because I watched the Steelers and listen to everything about the Steelers, Alex Highsmith has probably one of the best spin moves now. He did not have that coming into the NFL. That's something he learned from his coaches and from other players on the team and stuff. And most guys come in with like a dip and rip, and they just use their strength for bull rush. There's a lot of speed guys just get outside the tackle. They don't have multiple moves. They don't have an inside move, a swim move, things like that. So these are things that most edge guys learn at the NFL level, because when you're, you know, when you're Will Anderson dominant, all you know is I'm bigger, I'm faster, I'm stronger, and I'm going to run this MFer in front of me right over. So he'll learn moves for sure at the next level. And once he adds that, it's going to be hard to stop him. Like you said, he's going to be in that Nick Bosa, TJ Watt, you know, type of territory. Miles Garrett's in there, of course. So he seems like that's what he's going to be. And we heard last year, you know, this would have been the number one edge rusher on the board last year when we saw all those edge rushers go in the first round and first overall, Trayvon Walker. Everyone says Will Anderson would have gone over him. So just a very impressive young man. And, you know, I watched him against Texas. He was in that backfield a lot. So he's going to be I think right now on the board, he's first or third. Like if the Bears stay and they decide they don't take a quarterback, it's Will Anderson. If not, then the Cardinals are picking at three unless they want to trade out of that spot. How does he not go three? They need J.J. Watt's retiring. They need help along that line. So very, very high pick for Will Anderson for sure.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Yeah, he is one, though, that it doesn't really matter if you're playing 4-3 or 3-4. That's something you can talk about with edge players is his body type. I think he can play 3-4 outside linebacker. No matter what, you're going to ask him to rush the passer, right?
Yes.
Because as we move down, we'll talk... Next will be Miles Murphy. It would have been Jared Verse. We'll talk Miles Murphy here. He's bigger than Will Anderson. He's taller than Will Anderson. He's heavier than Will Anderson. He's one that I don't really want him playing 3-4 outside linebacker. You want him in a 4-3 system where he can play a defensive end and rush the passer. He's amazing at anchoring against the run. Sometimes Clemson, surprisingly, with as much talent as they have, will ask him to cover running backs out in the flat, and he does it like great. I don't know why they ask him to do that, but they will ask him to cover running backs, and he does it. He's definitely not as athletic as Will Anderson. He's not going to bend as much as Will Anderson, but I would just say Miles Murphy is really solid on a team that has a lot of talent. He doesn't stand out, but he does everything really well, and he's someone that should be another top 10 pick probably at this point. Top 15, I would say almost guaranteed, but I could easily see a team, you mentioned the Falcons, right? They always need pass rush help. I think that Miles Murphy would be a great fit if they decided to take defense.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of teams need help, especially a lot of teams picking early. I mean, who could not use this guy? Maybe the Colts, you know, and anyone could use him. It's just that the Colts are, that's the one of the few positions they're actually set at. Probably not going there, but I could see him going anywhere else. Great candidate for the Bears if they trade down, I feel like.
I don't think the Bears want to trade down and give up. They want one of these defensive players. There's really four or five, I think, that it can't drop too far. The next one would be probably the last edge that you don't want to miss out on. That's Tyree Wilson. So he is the only one so far of these top-end players that's committed to the Senior Bowl, and that's fine because you actually have to earn a degree, and I don't think Will Anderson will not have done that yet. Neither will Miles Murphy. Tyree Wilson starts his career at Texas A&M before transferring to Texas Tech. Tyree Wilson is the just freak athlete or freak size more so than even athletic. 6'6", 275. The official listing that I saw is 86-inch wingspan, meaning he has 3-foot-long arms, 36-inch arms. So we talked about Skaronski's going to get knocked for 32-inch arms. That's why we get knocked for that, right? His arm length is 4 inches longer, meaning he can push someone like Peter Skaronski back, and then can he just hold off? And when you have size like that, you can put it pretty much play him anywhere. He could play defensive tackle if you wanted to put him at defensive tackle instead of edge. He'd be small at 275, but as long as he can hold up, right, and hold up against the run, he'd do that. You could put him as edge in a 3-4 system. You don't really want him as an outside linebacker, right? You don't want him there, but you could put him as a D end and tell him, okay, hold up in these 3-4 systems and eat at that size, eat some linebacker, eat some offensive linemen to let the linebackers make some plays. He doesn't really have a lot of moves at this point. His thing is he's just probably has the best bull rush of any of these guys. He's just really, really strong at that size, and he pushes men back into the quarterback. And I don't see why he can't develop more moves at the next level. And with size like that, some team will fall in love with Tyree Wilson, I think.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. And just looking at this, I mean, New Orleans could be a spot for him. Tennessee, Pittsburgh. I'd love to see him fall, but, you know, like they probably screwed that up by winning games at the end of the year. But I would love to see him fall, especially if Cam Hayward does end up retiring. So
that's a good comp for Tyree Wilson. Actually, Cam Hayward is another really big athlete that kind of looks like Tyree Wilson.
Just massive. Also long arms for a Cam, and you see Cam, play in the pass game a lot. A lot of deflections. Steelers led the league in picks this year, and a lot of that was line deflections. So.
We move to the Georgia guy who did not play in the national championship game or the playoff or most of the season. That would be Nolan Smith. He tore his pec muscle early in the season, and you saw him on the sidelines. I know they interviewed him after the game, and he was talking it up, and seems like a really good guy.
He went out for the coin flip.
Did he?
Yeah.
8 games he played. He still made 18 tackles, 7 for loss. He had 3 sacks. He is a former number one overall recruit, not just at linebacker. Overall, he was the top rated recruit in the country when he got there. So he has had a pedigree for a long time. And we know how good Georgia's defense is. They put so many players in the NFL draft in the first round specifically. But Nolan Smith is another one. Like he's an excellent run defender. He gets down the line of scrimmage. His lateral ability, the ability should you to start running one way or another in the league where we're getting more and more read option plays where you have to be able to guard a running back, but also hold your own in case the receiver or in case the quarterback keeps the ball. I think Nolan Smith's going to be great at that. The knock on him is going to be he's 6'3", 235 is pretty tiny for an edge player. So you're going to hear the tweener. Is he a linebacker? He's not really an edge player. I don't know. Good players are good players, right? So
right.
He can get to the quarterback. I'm sure some team will take a chance on him. If the pectoral is good enough and we get to see him in the combine things, that will only help him.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what, if anything, he can do. I think probably more likely to see him go with just the pro day. A lot of those guys that are coming off an injury will just do the pro day. You get a little more favorable numbers at the pro day. Plus, most of the people that most of the scouts that would end up drafting you will be at your pro day anyway. So I think that's probably most likely, but I would love to see him in the combine. I just don't know how realistic it is because torn pecs are bad. They take a long time to recover from, which is why I was so fearful that TJ Watt did it week 1. You know, I bet you he'll be having surgery in the next couple days here, whatever, to fix it too. So, Nolan Smith, like you said, good players are good players, a little skinny. I think someone will probably either ask him to, stay exactly where he is and just make him an outside linebacker or bulk up and play end. So
yeah, I think his body could put on, there's some players when you look at him, you think, well, they can't really add weight. I think Nolan Smith could put on 15 pounds and not really lose a whole lot for you. So that's why you get him in an NFL strength coach is room, right? And you just trust these guys to make your good players even better. That's what it comes down to at some point, right? That's why these
NFL nutritionists do. They know what to do. You know, you see a lot of these guys transform once they get to the NFL, you know, a couple off seasons, now they're absolutely yoked. So
The last edge we're going to talk about. So I have not seen much Lucas Van Ness. I will admit this is the one I've seen the least amount of. I know there's some people who love him, so I figured we need to talk about Lucas Van Ness. And so I watched what I could find on him. Now, he could have went back to school 2 more years, but he chose to go to the NFL. He doesn't even start. He's never started a game for Iowa. Not 1 game on the very good Iowa defense. But I see the the appeal of Lucas Van Ness. In the little bit that I watched, he can play both inside and outside. 6'5", 265, that is a great size profile for what he can offer. And you just see it. It's a load of tools. The fact that he'll come off the bench, the fact that he plays no matter where the coaches tell him to play, the dude is unbelievably strong. He just gets under guys and moves them around with ridiculous play strength. It's going to need some coaching. He's not refined, but we see these guys all the time come to the NFL where they just have a bunch of tools, and you get an NFL coach who says, okay, well, I need you to do this. Can you learn how to do it? And the easy one is to say AJ Epenesa, because it's another Iowa defensive lineman who's kind of the same size profile. But I think Lucas Van Ness is even stronger than Epenesa was coming out, and Epenesa's had success with the Buffalo. So I definitely see the appeal.
Hopefully Epenesa is a little busty to me, you know, but he's a great rotational player, and you know, maybe this guy is coming out a little early here, but whatever. I mean, you know, get out from underneath that rookie contract and make that big money on the second one. You know, if he can do it, he'll be able to do it. So this is a guy that I see for Pittsburgh also, because he can play interior, he can play outside, can bulk up a little bit to be a 3-4 end maybe. But yeah, I can definitely see it with this guy. So excited about him. And look, there are so many other edge players. Just looking, you know, at like, I like the Draft Network a lot. And you look, and there's like so many. I mean, there's like 20 inside their top 200 ranks, from Ollie Gay, Caleb Tanner, Brendan Cox, JJ Weaver. I mean, you have guys like Foskey and Ujulari in here, Derek Hall. You know, Anudike Uzuma from Kansas State, the other Byron Young, who you mentioned, Colby Woolen or Wooden. There's a ton of edge prospects. So, yeah, this is a class that's going to make QBs nervous. That's for sure.
I think the ones I mentioned have a chance to go in the first round. I think Isaiah Foskey from Notre Dame has a chance to go in the first round. BJ Ojulari, you mentioned him. That's Aziz's brother. BJ went to LSU. He could sneak into the back of the first round.
He was supposed to be the talk of the town, but it was the freshman. What was the LSU freshman? Perkins, Harold Perkins, that got all the buzz. But Ojulari is very good too. Excited about him.
Freshman. So Ohio State has Zach Harrison. He'll probably day two guy, but Ohio State has a ridiculous freshman. I can't say the name correctly right now. That gets all the pass rush plays. Andre Carter he's kind of the Tyree Wilson size player. He's, I think, 6'7", 6'8". About a month ago, there was talk he wasn't going to be able to get drafted. He goes to Army, and they had that weird bill that was going to prevent him from being drafted. But then the U.S. government realized there was a player who might get picked pretty high from one of the Naval Academies or the Service Academies. And so they kind of rewrote it now, because I think Andre Carter could get picked pretty high too. I forget who it was in the group meeting. Someone mentioned they thought he might go in the first round. Maybe a little rich, but I could see a day two guy for Andre Carter. So
he
yeah.
had preseason buzz too, man. Yeah. So yeah, he's really good. He's definitely at least a day two guy, it seems.
If you want edge rushers, there's plenty of them for you in this class, man. If your team needs pass rush, this is the year for you. Let's move to the D line. There's two just extremely high end prospects here. So Jalen Carter, if their defensive player gets picked before Will Anderson, it will be Jalen Carter. I mentioned with Will Anderson, I thought he's the best prospect that I've graded for the edge since Bosa, but Jalen Carter, best defensive prospect since Quinnen Williams, which isn't that long ago, but Quinnen Williams is really good in the NFL, and Jalen Carter is going to be really good at Cotton in the NFL too. This season, he missed some games with a knee injury. He's playing again now. I don't think it'll get knocked. I don't think it'll be a knock on him. His production is off the charts. The way that when he first hits a guy, players, offensive linemen that are much bigger than him, move back 3-4 inches, and then he just gets under him, and then he pushes. He consistently gets double teamed. He consistently gets double teamed, triple teamed. Doesn't really matter. In the playoff, the very final game that we just saw, there was a stretch of three plays I saw where he was double teamed all three plays. The first one, he split with a bull rush, just went right through him. The second one, he pushes the guy, and then he holds up and tackles the running back for TCU. And then the third one, he just pushed the pile, and that's the one that I think Keely Ringo or someone ended up making a pick on, because Jalen Carter is all over Max Duggan. Now he gets the ball out, but it was just three plays in a row, just showing how dominant he can be. The only thing is, he's not the huge lateral quickness guy. If you run at him, he's going to tackle you. Can he get down the line? He can, but it's not a strength of his. Now, he will chase down plays from behind all the time. He will get 15, 20 yards downfield to tackle a running back on a screen. It is not a lack of motor. It's just moving horizontally at his size profile is really hard, but another one, easy top five overall pick, I think.
Yeah, I love watching Jalen Carter play. You know, it's not, I'm a guy that grew up watching Joel Steed and Casey Hampton just anchor the middle of the Steelers defense. So watching a guy like this is just fun. And it's, you know, back in my day, CK, these defensive interior guys never got sacks. You just never see it. Like Aaron Donald's were not happening. But now that you have rushes and blitzes coming from all over the place, you know, these guys have more of an opportunity. And Jalen Carter is one of those guys. I mean, and remember, this guy and Jordan Davis were on the same line last year. It's just crazy to think about some of these prospects that Georgia has been churning out.
And Devontae Wyatt, they will have three defensive tackles get picked in 2 years. That tells you the amount of talent that Georgia's kicked out. That's why they've won two national titles, right? And
yeah,
are as much of a favorite to win a third as anybody right now if you watch that game. So here's my question for you, because you mentioned the Cardinals replacing J.J. Watt with Will Anderson.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and...
Littering and smoking...
In this league.
Break it down.
Is Jalen Carter or Will Anderson a better replacement for J.J. Watt? Because I think it's Jalen Carter.
Well, just to replace him physically on the line, it's Carter. You know, because... But I have no idea. They're going to have a new coach. And they're replacing so much of that defense that I don't know if they're going to do 3-4, they're going to do 4-3. What are they going to do on defense? So they just have to have someone to rush the passer because Watt's retiring. Zach Allen is a free agent. So they need somebody somewhere. So if they like Will Anderson and they're picking at 3, I think he's kind of the obvious choice if he's still there. But Carter is a great pick too. If Anderson goes 1, and Carter is sitting there for them at 3. I just think they need to really focus on the defensive side of the ball this season because they have good linebackers. They have, you know, decent safeties, but it's the line and the corners need to be replaced for Arizona defensively. So, and they might get an extra pick here early too because they're looking at trading DeAndre Hopkins apparently for whoever they sign. Bidwell wants to get rid of him. I don't know if he did something, but I mean, you know, they're going to be able to get a lot for him. They're probably going to ask for an A.J. Brown type haul. He's not young like A.J. Brown, so I bet the price will be below that, but it'll be in the ballpark probably, so we'll see.
Yeah, whichever one they get, it's like it's officially a consolation prize, but it's a really good consolation prize. If you get one of those two, like you are happy with that.
Absolutely.
There is another defensive lineman, a defensive tackle, I'd say pretty easily top half of the first round, maybe another top 10 pick. That's Brian Brzee from Clemson. Last year, he missed most of the season with a torn ACL. This year was a really tough year for the guy. He had a kidney infection, which cost him a month. And then his 15-year-old sister died of brain cancer. I forget who they were playing. I think it was maybe Mississippi State. And Mike Leach made all of Mississippi State's guys wrote him handwritten letters, which is just amazing. I think it was Mississippi State. So pretty cool thing there, but yeah, it's a tough year, man. But when he's on the field, he is incredible, too. Another former number one overall prospect like Nolan Smith chose Clemson right away, stuck to it. I think he's maybe a slightly better pass rush option than Jalen Carter at this point as far as getting upfield. Now, that's splitting hairs, but sure. He's also not as good of a run defender. He's very tall, 6'5", 300. That's really tall for a defensive tackle. But when he does get under you and use that leverage, you're just done. He's going to throw you around, and you're not going to be able to block this man.